My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonder of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonder of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, pray to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Good morning, church. While the boys and girls are being dismissed to Children's Church and Puggles this time, I want to call forward to the stage, please, Miss Asbury, Ms. Tamron Asbury, as well as Mr. Gary Wallace, please. And the rest of us will go ahead and open up our worship guide to the left-hand flap on the inside. Many of you already noticed up here on the stage that we have over 100 baby bottles, and that's only one basket. If you recall back on Mother's Day of this year, the ladies in this church elected to participate in a coin collection, a coin drive, for a very noteworthy program here that's piloted in our hospital and beyond. So I'm going to invite you to read along with me as printed on the left-hand flap of your worship guide that says, "This morning, First Baptist Church of Fairleigh welcomes Ms. Tamron Asbury, who is the coordinator and care manager of the Drug-Free Moms and Babies Program that operates in coordination with the OBGYN department of the Greenbrier Physicians and Greenbrier Valley Medical Center. Ms. Asbury, who is a master's level clinician, licensed social worker, and substance abuse professional, meets with mothers upon their first prenatal visit to complete a thorough clinical screening. The DFMB program's primary goal is to support healthier outcomes for moms and babies who are combating substance abuse problems, providing prevention, early intervention, education, addiction treatment, and recovery support services. Over the past 6 years, due in large part to the efforts of this program, the number of babies born with drugs in their system in the Greenbrier County has been decreased by 14%. Let's pause right there and thank God, shall we? No doubt Tamara will be expounding on that, but allow me to continue reading. So for the past month or so, First Baptist Church of Fairleigh members have been collecting coins in baby bottles to support this program, and today we'll present Miss Asbury a check for, are you ready? Pull out a pen, it's going to be on the overhead, $2,690.85. Show our love for that offering here. Write that down there. I'm going to close by saying, as embedded there in your worship guide, thanks be to God for our ability to give and for the compassionate workers in this program who make a lasting difference in many lives every day. Before Miss Asbury comes and speaks, Gary Wallace, you have a presentation for her.
Tamara, on behalf of First Baptist Church Fairleigh, I would like to present you with this check for $2,690.86.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
One more time. Thank you. Now what we're going to do, Miss Asbury is going to be speaking here before I bring God's message for the day. But I also want to point out something very important. Miss Kim Eastep was not able to be here today. She's the Director of Marketing here at Greenbrier Valley Medical Center. By a show of hands, how many of you here that work at the hospital or in surrounding offices, how many of you know Tamron? Would you raise your hand? See there, Tamron, you're among friends.
Yes, that's
all right.
Right.
How many of you know Kim Eastep over at the hospital? All right, a few more there. Well, here's the thing. Dear friends, I do appreciate these baby bottles being filled with nickels and dimes and quarters and even dollars that are put in there for the sum total you've already recorded there inside of your worship guide. However, what I also want you to know is if all we do is get mothers and babies drug-free, we have failed. You see, a big part of the program is education. You saw that as I just read it to you. Well, the hospital administration here and is being led by Miss Eastep, Kim Eastep, they're allowing clergy now to come into the hospital as an extension of this program. I'm working on a pilot committee over here, a steering committee, and we're starting a volunteer chaplaincy program in this hospital right here. So we want to see everybody be drug-free. Amen? Certainly do, especially those unborn children. But also, I've already experienced numerous visits, and we haven't even got this thing up and running yet, that nurses and doctors will call and say, Pastor Dallas or Brother Ike next door, others, if you're available, there's a need for you to come and minister spiritually. So not only are we ministering to the body and the soul, but this hospital, through the likes of Tamron and Kim, they're allowing us now to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So once again, let's share our love for God and this extended program.
Thanks, everyone, for letting me be here today. What a beautiful day. Everyone's been so welcoming here. I do like to move around a little bit, so I'm going to try to stay put today. I just wanted to start by talking a little bit about the history of the Drug-Free Mother-Baby Program, how it came to be, why it came to be. And as you can see from the PowerPoint, there's a lot of information in this PowerPoint. I'm not going to go over every detail, but I did want to put it up there for everyone to see. You know, West Virginia is known for a lot, but we're also known for some bad things, like number one in drug overdoses in the United States. We also have the number one rate of moms who are smoking in pregnancy. Can I have someone dim the lights a little bit so I can see? Possibly? Thank you. Yes. But you know what? What West Virginia has done, we've taken responsibility for our issues and our problems, and we are working on them every day. A collaboration among, the communities are working together, the state are working together, to come up with solutions to these problems that we know exist. So, and one of those cutting-edge approaches is the Drug-Free Mother-Baby Program.
I really appreciate your generosity and allowing for me to come and speak today. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, Ms. Stanley. Very good. Folks, we're taking the remainder of our time here to talk about the hope we have in not only America, but more importantly, in Almighty God. If all you do is read the newspaper and watch the television set, up to and including the last series of presidential debates, you would think there's no hope for America. Let me say it again. I'm not talking about Democrat, Republican. If you talk to the average person, they think America has turned the corner. There's no hope for America. How ridiculous. When you look, our hope is placed on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. I'm not only talking about the church, I'm talking about our Constitution. I'm talking about the hospitals. When you have positive, proactive programs like this, and of course the extension, which I've already described, the chaplaincy, which dovetails with this. There is hope for America. But I want you to sit back and listen to one of my favorite songs I enjoy this time of the year, when the guys in the back play, "There's Hope for America." Where were you? Where are you now?
You say you will never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11th, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, "Honey, I'm not going to make it, but it's okay. I'm ready to go." I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to their children. I held her up as she tried to understand his words, and as she realized he wasn't coming home that night. I was in the stairwell of the 23rd floor when a woman cried out to me for help. I told her, "I've been knocking on the door of your heart for 50 years. Of course I will show you the way home. Only believe in me now." I was at the base of the building with the priest, ministering to the injured and devastated souls. I took him home to tend to his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all four of those planes, in every seat, with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith has saved them. I was in Texas, Kansas, London. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name, though not all know me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me with their last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling to them through the smoke and the flames. "Come to me, this way. Take my hand." Some chose for the final time to ignore me. But I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why, but I do. However, if you were there in that explosive moment in time, would you have reached for me? September 11th, 2001 was not the end of the journey for you. But someday, your journey will end, and I will be there for you as well. Seek me now, while I may be found. Then, at any moment, you know you are ready to go. I will be in the stairwell of your final moments. Remember, I love you.
Signed, God, not government. The Holy Word of God tells us to honor those in authority above us. We want to do that. But folks, today's title is, There is Still Hope for America. There is hope for you. In the stairwell of your heart, where will you stand before Almighty God? Where will I stand? Once again, if all we do is watch the television news and read the newspapers and listen to all the different debates, you would think America doesn't have a chance. The drug problem, you know I'm working on another steering committee here in the state. The West Virginia Southern Baptist Conservatives of West Virginia, we're taking a head-on approach to this. We're planting churches. The largest and most effective church we have right now is in Huntington and others in Wheeling, drug capitals of our state. We're addressing this. But if all we do is get people clean and put them back out in the streets, we have failed. It takes a heart change, amen? And the heart change begins with Jesus Christ, God, not government. The Messiah, Christ personally, not man or method, but Christ Jesus. That is so important. Time is pressing, but I want to call attention to Psalm number 16. If you want to divide your Bible in half, you'll probably find the book of Psalms there. Psalm number 16. We understand the problems in the world, even in the church. The droppage in attendance, the droppage in salvation experiences, the droppage in baptisms. All those different reports we've received on a regular basis. But folks, I want you to know your pastors here, plural, and deacons, we serve a living God, not a dead God. There's hope for our church. There's hope for all churches who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Wow, our allegiance to a higher power. Yes. Psalm 16 says, Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. Now, this was written by King David. David had to face his giant of that day, literally speaking, Goliath. If you're facing a giant right now, you and the radio listening audience, it very well could be drugs, alcohol, anger, adultery, pornography, and on and on and on it goes. If you're facing a giant, I'm asking you to approach chapter 16 here, Psalm 16, in a very personal and profound way. Put yourself right here in the heart, in the kitchen of David. Preserve me. Put your name right there. Oh God, for in you I will put my trust. Oh my soul, you have said in verse 2, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Could you say that today, class? Do you know God here, as well as those listening by radio? Do you know God personally as Savior and Lord? As for the saints who are in the earth, verse number 3, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. But notice in verse number 4, those who don't know God, their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another god, the god of the bottle, the god of the pill, the god of the television, the god of the sports, whatever their other god is before Almighty God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. David is saying, we will know parts of this. The world has nothing to offer us. Why? Because our hope is built on God. O Lord, verse number 5, you are my portion of my inheritance and my cup. How many of you have ever read in the Bible that our cup runs over? Our cup runs over. Yes, it comes from God. You can see down here a basic outline, the preservation of God, how God preserves us, the portions of God, how God supplies our needs, and then the presence and the pleasures of God. Oh, how David was pleasuring himself in God, saying, God, you're the portion of my inheritance. We have a future with him. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. You see the pleasant hood he enjoyed with God? Yes, I have a good inheritance. And verse number 7 is very important. He said, I will bless the Lord who has given me my counsel. My heart also instructs me in the right seasons, even the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Brother Brent Thompson, that'd be a great song for you to sing. I love that old spiritual. Look in verse number 8. That's where it comes from. I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the waters. Psalm number 1, I shall not be moved. How many of you know that song? There you go. We might sing that later on. Verse number 9. You can find the hope down here we've been referring to. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. Everybody smiles. Say, go God. Go God. Folks, we're not giving up yet. It's not time to circle the wagons. We're taking a proactive, effective approach to drugs in West Virginia. But beyond West Virginia, the world as a whole, the church, you listen to anybody on the street or any of those in officials above us, you think the church has dried up? No. You think America's all dried up and gone? No. Just consider with me some things I jotted down. The stock market is an all-time high. Unemployment is an all-time low. The S&P is very stable. The price of gasoline continues to drop. How many of you know, apart from taxes on gasoline, gasoline today would be less than $1 a gallon? How many of you realize that? Yes. It's about as low as it can go right now because we're being overtaxed. But we're still talking about home prices are up. And the interest rates are low, which boosts a positive economy. Our store shelves are full of food. I don't care what you'd be cooking at on July 4th. It could be a big fat steak, or it could be a tube steak, what we call a hot dog here in West Virginia. And either way is good by me. But right now our store shelves are stocked, and very likely your home pantries are as well. You think it's time to give up? I don't. There's still hope for America. There's still hope for you. There's still hope for the church. We have some of the greatest hospitals, schools, and universities in the world. We are free to roam this beautiful weekend, this land, from sea to shining sea, and not to be overlooked. How about the Vacation Bible School we just experienced here? When I saw boys and girls excited, elated for Jesus, jumping all over this stage and carrying on for Jesus, it gave me hope for America, Joe Bennett. I'm not ready to circle the wagons. There's hope in God. America, blessed is the nation whose God is the, say it with me, Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So let's go back and consider chapter 16, the preservation of God. God has preserved America for a reason and preserved this church. And then, of course, the portion of God, our cup runs over. But verse number 9 says, therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh also will rest in his hope. By the way, that word hope means confidence. It doesn't mean cross your heart, hope to die, you know, cross your fingers and hope it all works. No, that word in the Hebrew and the Greek language means we have confidence in a higher power, someone greater than we are. Verse number 10, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol. It's another study here just talking about hell. In this day of the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ led the captivity captive there at Calvary, he said, God, you're not going to forget about me after I die, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. God doesn't do that to us. Verse number 11, you will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. Everyone say joy. Joy. Jesus, others, yourself. We know that's a definition of joy. And at your right hand, where of course Jesus, the Son of God, is sitting, are pleasures for how long, class? Forevermore. It's talking about eternity. So let me just ask you as we close here, where do you stand with God? Where do I stand with God? What are you putting your faith and your hope and your trust in? Talked to a man recently. He told me he lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in the last turn of the stock market because he was ill-advised. He invested money he shouldn't have ever invested in. Friends, it's not money that's going to save us. It's the Messiah. Can I get amen? It's not the government. We certainly want to honor those in authority above us. But it's God. Where does your confidence rest? Where does your confidence rest? If you were to die, look in verse number 9. Where's your hope? Look in verse number 11. Where's your future? If you were there in the Twin Towers many years ago, where would you be right now if you did perish? Someone pointed out yesterday to me that it was the 7th year anniversary of Derecho. Remember when I came through? Remember that? I was hiking on the top of the Blue Ridge Mountains. We were on Stony Man, and we saw it coming. They didn't predict this in the Commonwealth in Virginia like they did here, perhaps. You're now a missionary serving in the Middle East. My future daughter-in-law, others, we were up there, and we saw the storm coming. We couldn't get off the mountain without an explosion of trees. Darkness overtook. I was in another Jeep. We couldn't see to go 50 feet. We had to park, and trees were all about us and power lines down. They closed down the whole northern region of Virginia. That was 7 years ago. It seems like 100 years ago because we're so wrapped up in our world. And yet, 2001, 9/11, it's an afterthought. Wouldn't this be a great holiday weekend, this weekend and next weekend, to remind yourself and your children and your grandchildren of the importance of serving God and bowing knee to God and how we get to enjoy the fruit of the labors of many people before us, all the soldiers that died before us so we could be here today, all the people who made sacrifices for these beautiful buildings, but more importantly, remind your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of Jesus Christ, the author of hope. So let me ask you as I open with, where's your hope? Where's my hope? Dear friends, if it's placed on anything other than Jesus Christ, it's nothing but hay and stubble. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. While you're sitting here reverently, let me just read some other scriptures of importance from this beautiful book of Psalms, the Hebrew, the Jewish songbook. We have time to do this. Whenever I'm discouraged, whenever I get downtrodden, listen to all the horrible reports of America, and yet we're so fat and blessed, I run to the Psalms. Listen, as I emphasize here in the Psalms, the subject of hope. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh will rest in the hope. Everyone say hope. Hope. Be of good courage, and God shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Everyone say hope. Hope. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who revere him, on those who hope in his mercy. Let us all say hope. Hope. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Again, we say hope. Hope. Psalm 38, verse 15, for in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God of hope. Everyone say hope, hope. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? Why am I here? My hope is in you. Hope. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth, the psalmist said in Psalm 71, verse 5. Let me ask you now. Did you put your faith and trust, adult, in Jesus Christ, as a teenager, it's so vitally important that we reach the boys and girls and teens today before they get sucked into the vacuum, the evilness, the negative thinking of this world, especially even here in America, the greatest country in the world. Teach them from a youth, from a child up, to put their hope in God. I will hope in you continually, the psalmist says, and I will praise you more and more. You're my hiding place and my shield, of Psalm 119. I hope in your word, the Holy Bible. I will rise before the dawn in the morning and cry for help. But my hope is in your word. You will rescue me. Psalm 130, I waited for the Lord. My soul waited. And in his word, I found hope. Everyone say hope. I'm going to finish with this one. Happy is the man or the woman who has put the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord our God. If you don't have hope in Jesus Christ, if you've not put your faith and trust in Jesus as the Lord and the God of hope, I invite you to do so now in the quietness, the stillness of this moment. Holy Spirit of living God, please move. Thank you, Father, Son, and Spirit. May we leave this place excited, not beat down, but excited with our faith, our confidence, our hope in you as a church, as a country founded on God. Turn us on. Turn us up. Turn us loose to shine. Shine, Jesus, shine on everyone we come in contact with, especially this next week. We love you and we pray this in your name. And all of God's children said, amen.